God, what powerful words that we get to sing about what we believe about the story that you have been writing from the beginning of creation till now and through all eternity. And God, it's profound and it's humbling to think about, even as in the other songs that we were singing, how as you are writing that story, that you are also writing our story. You're writing my story. So God, as we hear some stories about how you've been working in people's lives, as we talk about the power of story today, God, I pray that we would be able to look back on our story and see those times when you have been moving powerfully in our lives and in the world around us. And God, I pray that we would be encouraged and that we would see your hand of faithfulness over all the different aspects of our story. And God, we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And we pray this in your son's strong name. Amen. Please have a seat. It's exciting today to be able to share a little bit about what my morning or my summer has been these last few months. Some of the things that I've been learning and processing, and I hope that they'll be an encouragement to you wherever you're at today. If you've been around McKernan this last year, and especially this summer, hopefully you've heard about our Moby, Mexico mission trip. In the last 2 weeks of July, I got to lead our team of 24 youth and leaders down to Mexico City to work with Pastor Jaime and a number of the other locals to deliver VBS day camps, different programming at three different locations for some of the children that live in those areas. Now, we'll be doing a little bit more of a report kind of thing sometime later this fall where you'll get to hear more stories about the kind of things that we did and how we as a church have been supporting the ministry down in Mexico City. So you have to wait a little bit longer to hear some of those stories. But before I get too far ahead of myself this morning, I just have a couple things that I feel like I need to say to you as a church and to McKernan. And the first is, I think we've said it a few times, but we'll keep on saying it. I just need to say a huge thank you for all the ways that you support our team and the ministry that the Becerras have down in Mexico City. Thank you for letting us go. Thank you for sending us. Thanks for letting me lead this team down to Mexico City. A big thanks to the board for all the ways that they always support this trip. And to all of you, just a huge thank you for the ways that you've supported us financially to make it possible to go on this trip. It's always been amazing how you've provided for us. But even more than that, for all the prayers and the encouragement that you've given. It really makes a huge impact on us as we go and as we process afterwards and in the ministry that we're able to be a part of down there. And so a number of times while we were down in Mexico, the Becerras and many others mentioned to say thank you to you as a church for sending this team down every 2 years. The second thing is that I really believe that we as a church have a whole lot to be proud of in our youth and young people. There were a number of times that myself and the other leaders would kind of step back while we were down in Mexico and watch the youth serving and interacting with each other and the locals. And sometimes we would think, what are they doing? And man, we got some good stories for sure. Now all the kids are sweating a little bit. We won't go there today. But many, many times as we would watch our kids serving and engaging with the team and the locals, we were just so, so proud of them. The ways that they would sacrifice their own needs and desires for the sake of others. The ways that they would jump in and volunteer to do things that were outside of the comfort zone. And the ways that they would engage in worship and prayer. It really was really profound to be able to be a part of a lot of these moments with the youth and with the team. So for all of you parents and grandparents who sent kids on this trip, you have a lot to be proud of in your kids. And I hope that I'll be able to relay some of those stories to you specifically. But to the church, I recognize that our youth ministry is so, so blessed to have a church that believes in the next generation. So thank you for creating a space where kids can grow up in faith, take risks, learn, and grow into who they were made to be. And God is so good. Now, all that being said, one of the things that I was really thinking about while we were in Mexico, and especially since coming home, is this: the power of stories and the calling that I believe that we all have to tell the stories. And I really believe that just because our mission trip is over, our job isn't over, and that there's still so much good in telling the story. So I asked a couple of our kids that went on the trip to reflect on the trip and share with you some of their experience and some of what they had learned and experienced down there and how they're continuing to process what God is doing in their lives. So I'll invite Grant and Sarah on up here.
Hola. For starters, it is a big relief to not need to say this all in Spanish. Going to Mexico for the second time, I wondered what new stuff God could possibly show me. Wouldn't it be the same? But I learned so much on this trip. During the mornings, I saw some of the leaders get up early and open their Bibles, connecting with God before they started their day. I thought that was smart, so I gave it a try. And thanks to Kevin's encouragement, I got up early to spend time connecting in the Word, and what I found was amazing. I began reading in Philippians, which was a really good reality check for midway through the trip. From Philippians 2, verses 5 to 6, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equity with God something to be used to his own advantage. Reflecting on these verses throughout the day helped me to straighten my mindset on the goal we had set ahead and hold myself back from making this all about me. Continuing through Philippians, then to Colossians and into John, God has revealed many things about him and myself. Firstly, I learned that I need to control my frustration. For example, when the person beside me during a meal is crunching down on a tortilla chip really loudly, which for myself is a big struggle. Just gotta let it go. Another was learning to accept and appreciate this whole concept called Mexico time, which is a made-up term to sum up our travel experiences. Spending much time waiting for things to happen, cars to arrive, etc., instead of getting annoyed, I began to appreciate these people taking times out of their day to drive us up a mountain in their own vehicles with many speed bumps. I also appreciated the extra breaks of time we had in the day to break out in a worship session or find a few minutes to take a nap. Continuing on learning my role in relationships, I discovered that the power of the little things, like dishes. By doing my devotions in the morning, I was able to intentionally set time aside to help with dishes during siesta time, which is for napping and journaling. And by serving in that capacity, when Kevin allowed me to, it allowed other people to have their solo time. Thirdly, heading in through the Gospels, I've learned that how mighty God is and how vastly his love acquires us. I realized this when I started reading through the book of John one morning, but it was catalyzed by a worship session one night where we sang about how great God is. I couldn't get the words out of my mouth. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and all I could do was say, God, thank you. It is always a rewarding experience and exciting serving in Mexico. The love that the locals and their children show us is unlike anything I've seen before. To love wholeheartedly upon total strangers blows my mind, but makes me grateful for the work that God has done in their hearts and mine. I didn't know the effect that we could have being on a short-term mission, but I had hoped that we'd be able to at least touch their hearts. And for me, this was confirmed when two special children, Hienesis and Esai, came back to VBS, having previously met them on the last trip. Seeing the love of God in their hearts made me know that God walks with us, touching their heart, the hearts of the children, while we show them the love that God has first shown us. Thank you, McKernan, for supporting our mission. It has not only had an effect in Mexico City, but here in Edmonton, too, in the lives of the students, leaders, our friends, and our families. Thank you.
I have known for as long as I can remember that God wants his church to love one another and that people should be able to see a difference in the church just by the way we treat one another as a community. Before going to Mexico, I cannot say I'd ever really experienced and understood what God truly meant by that and how to really show it. I am always treated pleasantly and friendly by the church and everyone around me, but in Mexico, it took on an entirely new meaning for me on so many levels. For those going on the Mexico trip that had siblings that had come before, there was an instant connection with them and the locals. But as much as they wanted to know about how their siblings were doing and how their family was doing, they immediately also wanted to know in depth what you were like. Well, getting to know the locals, each individually, There never seemed to be any point of an awkward stage in conversation or interaction or growth together. For people that we only met once or got to spend time with for one day, they still ended up feeling like family. This one mom that I remember of a local girl, she was like 20, not really a girl, that helped us with VBS in one day. I really remember talking to her because by talking, I mean lots of hand gestures, because I don't know Spanish. For maybe only about 20 minutes, and when it's lots of hand gestures, that's only 1 minute conversation. At the end of it, when we were saying goodbye, she gave me this hug, and as much as I don't enjoy hugs, and my team knows lots about that, it really felt like she really meant it, and that within that hug, she really did seriously care about me, and that if I ever wanted to go back there, she would greet me with just the biggest open arms, and to me, that was a lot. There were many other moments where not just myself, as I've talked to other team members about this, they asked me or us if we were doing good, but they didn't even just mean well-rested or happy or sad, but also spiritually. They also wanted to talk to us about anything that was happening in our lives, and they meant it with such a loving and loving heart and such an open ear. At the end of our trip, we went to this big and beautiful restaurant, although I thought the food that all the locals made us, like Sarah and Lupita, was better. I was standing on this balcony within the restaurant by myself, and Oscar, one of the locals, came up in such a caring and compassionate way. He started a conversation with me, and somewhere in the middle, he stopped to make sure that I was doing good in every sense of the meaning. He really wanted to know so he could share in my happiness or be there for me in my sadness. Esau, closer to the middle of the trip, while we were still in Whiskey Lucan, did the same thing for me. It was amazing how much they really paid attention to everything about us. Sarah, not myself, down there, did the same thing while helping anyone who was feeling a little sick or really sick. She went the extra mile to always go out and get us the medication we needed immediately and to serve us in any way she was capable. The love that they showed each individual made it feel to me like I had already known them for quite a while. And although it felt like we had not been there for long, it also felt like 2 months, not 2 weeks, because of the connections that we all built. The community that was immediately established and the trust we all had for each other as a whole was incredible and something I had personally never seen or felt before. I believe it is what God intended for all of us as a church, as a community, so that we can stand out from the crowd. Coming back from Mexico, I feel God is pushing me to accomplish that kind of relationship with his church, that they can see how we can all immediately become as if we had been with each other through everything, and like we are all, as if we're all really brothers and sisters that grew up together.
Thanks for sharing those stories, guys. It would really mean a lot to me if I could ask you as a church to keep on praying for our team and for the ministry and those leading it down in Mexico as they continue to do a lot of follow-up work with the families and as we continue to process all that God has done for us while we were there as well. But what I really want to talk about this morning is that the practice of storytelling and the power of storytelling. I feel like storytelling is maybe one of those things that we've kind of lost a little bit in the church, or at least I don't think we practice it as much as we could be. Stories are incredibly powerful. In a matter of sentences, stories can evoke deep emotion, connecting the story that we're hearing to our experience in a way that we feel like we're right there experiencing it. Or in other ways, stories can take us far away to imaginary places with made-up creatures, but there's still often that aspect that connects us to the story in a way that speaks to our hearts. Sometimes it can be easy to think that stories are just for kids or for Sunday school. We might think that they're maybe just a gimmicky way to teach a morale or to get kids to behave or whatever. But we forget that when we look at the teachings of Jesus, how he taught the people around him, one of the ways that he often taught was through stories and parables. He would often say something like, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Or two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Or he would say, there was a man who had two sons. Now, stories aren't just for kids, but throughout history, our faith was communicated from generation to generation using stories. And this is something that we got to see lived out while we were in Mexico City. One of the things that we were always asked to do whenever we're down there is to participate in the Sunday services that we're there for. So usually that means something like leading a couple of our worship songs. Sometimes it includes me preaching, sometimes very last minute. And sometimes, or always, it means that they're going to ask students or leaders to share a testimony. Now, these testimonies or stories have different focuses depending on where we are at in this trip. So this last trip we had, we got to be there for 3 Sundays for church. So the first Sunday that we were there, they asked a number of our students to share a story about just something that God was doing in their life recently. And the second Sunday we were there, they asked some of our team to share how they saw God at work in that first week of EBS that we did. And then the last Sunday that we were there, Pastor Jaime asked if a number of our leaders would share how they saw God working in our youth over the last few weeks and in the kids at the VBS, and what our hopes were for the youth and all the kids going forward now. It was interesting for me to think about what sharing these stories meant. Usually when I would think of sharing my testimony, I associate it with when I got baptized and shared my story of how I came to know Jesus and trust him as Lord. My testimony was my life story. But what I really appreciated in this different way of thinking about testimony that we got in Mexico was essentially just saying, like, tell us a story of what God is up to in your life right now. Or questions like, what are the things that you're learning or processing? Or one that I just heard the other day, how are you making sense of the space that you're in? When I think about the reasons we share stories, a couple of different ideas come to mind. I believe that we share stories for 3 things. One, so that we can remember. Second, so that we can encourage. And third, so that we can see how we're connected to God's story and to the world around us. So these are the 3 things that we're going to look at this morning. So first, we tell the story so that we can remember. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had a practice that when God would do something powerful for them as a nation, they would set up an altar or just a set of stones as a way to remember. And one of these instances is found in Joshua 4. At that time, God had dried up the Jordan River so that the Israelites could walk across on dry ground. And to remember this, Joshua, the leader at that time, got 12 of the different leaders of the tribes to each grab a stone from the middle of the dried up Jordan and carry it to the other side. And there he set them up as a monument to remember what God had done for them. And here's what it says in Joshua 4. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites would set up these monuments so that whenever they were at that spot again, they would be able to look back and remember what God had done for them. They would be able to tell their children these stories of when God did a miraculous thing. And this was one of the ways that they would pass on their faith to the next generation. It was a way for them to take a powerful experience and let that memory and the lessons that they learned about the truths of who God is continue on and make an impact in their lives. It was a way for them to remember, and remembering is a powerful thing, especially when we're able to remember in a way that lets these experiences have an impact on our lives. One of the difficulties with trips like the one that we went on, and I think for any of us when we have a powerful experience with God, is for us to find ways to process the experience in a way that makes an impact on our lives moving forward. We sometimes call these like mountaintop experiences or times in our lives where we feel especially close to God and can see him moving in our lives. These might be times spent at summer camp, retreats, a mission trip like the one we went on, or it could be as simple as a significant worship service or a meaningful conversation with someone that really knows you. The easy thing to do is to take that experience or that memory and kind of put it into a nice little box and put it on the shelf as a nice thing that happened or that you experienced, but it doesn't really impact your life. And then a little bit down the road, we look back on that experience and we convince ourselves that it wasn't as big of a deal as we used to think it was, and it's easy to just rationalize it away or convince ourselves that it was a coincidence or whatever. And this is why we need to have a better practice of remembering and telling the story. Telling these stories is like the act of building a monument to remember that what happened, happened, and is true and powerful, and that nothing should diminish that. So one of the things that happens when we tell the story is that it helps us remember and helps us make sense in a way that impacts our lives. Second thing that happens when we tell the stories is that it can be an encouragement to the people around us. And as I was thinking about this, as I was preparing this week, I was thinking about what it would have been like for the early church. So I started to look at some of the different letters that Paul would write to the different churches around and how they were encouraged by sharing their lives and stories of faith with each other. Paul writes in Romans 1, 11 to 12, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." As they shared what Jesus was doing in their lives, they were encouraged by each other. In 1 Thessalonians, he writes, "But Timothy just now comes to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." The faith of those in the church at Thessalonica strengthened and encouraged Paul's faith as he faced persecution. And then again, in the opening of his letter to the Colossians, he writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all God's people." Now, it seems like this was just a part of regular life in the early church. They would pass on stories to encourage and lift each other up. Whether they were facing difficulties or challenges, hard times or persecution, the stories of faith around them helped them through it. It helped them hold on to their faith. And this was huge for them, as at that time they were in the vast minority. And I think it's just as huge for us now as we find ourselves living more and more in what a lot of people are calling a post-Christian culture. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on. When was the last time you heard from a close friend of yours what God was up to in their life? Or when was the last time that you were able to articulate what God was doing in your life to someone? Now, maybe we have these kinds of conversations in our small groups or when we're at Bible study or something like that, but what if we just added this to something like our regular vocabulary when we met up together? What if when you met up with your friend at the coffee shop, the conversation was more like, "Hey, how are you? What's God up to in your life?" We don't need to make it this big deal or this big thing about telling our life story, but it can be really simple. What it does take and what it will mean is that we need to be noticing how God is working in our lives. So telling the story helps us to remember, and we can be a part of encouraging others' faith journey as well. But lastly, what we really got to experience when we were in Mexico is that when we are able to share our stories, it helps to connect us to God's story and what's going on in the world around us. It opens up our perspective on what God is doing and gives us a more complete view of who God is. And this is how it kind of played out for us while we were down in Mexico City. So like I said, often we would share the stories of what God was doing in our lives on Sunday morning. And then we would hear throughout the weeks different stories from people that we would meet about what God was doing in their lives and how he was working in their story. And we would spend our time in our team meetings sharing these stories. And we got used to hearing what God was up to all around us. And a comment that I often hear on these trips is that the students we bring down gain a new appreciation and understanding that God is so much bigger than we imagine. He's not just God in Edmonton or in Canada or in North America even, but that he is the God of the world. And hearing these stories from each other gives us this more complete picture of what God is up to in the world around us. One of the students on this trip in one of our meetings made a comment after seeing how God was working in the people's lives down there and seeing how the locals served and worshiped so passionately. He said, "If there's people all the way down here who are worshiping and following God, and there's people back home, and there's people all over, God has to be real. How cool is that for one of our kids to get that clear picture of God's greatness while we were down in Mexico and to share that with us? Amen. In the VBS that we would do for the kids, day three was always the day where we would share the gospel message with them and their families. Our team put together a drama that told the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and one of the locals would then often preach the gospel message in a way that they can understand and give them an opportunity to respond. There's a couple of pictures. The one on the left is of our drama, and the one on the right is Sarah Becerra, Pastor Jaime's wife, sharing the message afterwards. I mentioned this the other day when I was leading worship here, but the night before we were going to present the gospel, the night before this day, I was just really struck with this idea that this is the greatest story that we could ever tell. And that telling this story allows us to see that we can step into the story and that we are a part of this story. This grand story that God is writing from Genesis to Revelation, what we call the gospel, the story that God is writing, this story is what makes our stories make sense. We see that our individual stories are part of the community story, which is part of the story. And as we share our stories, we remember what God has done in our lives, and it's encouragement to the people around us because our individual stories make up our community's story. And we see how we are all part of the story. Now, what starts out as this small individual thing really isn't that at all. And it's really beautiful thing to see how God weaves together all these individual stories. It's crazy to me to think of the extent that God will go to weave our stories together in ways that reveal who he is and his love for us. For me, he took me all the way down to Mexico City 12 years ago that first time and intersected my story with a 12-year-old kid named Obed and his mom. And because of them, I have a better understanding of God's love for me. He took me all the way to Mexico so that I would know how much he loves me. He sent his son so that all of us could know how much he loves us. I hope that as you look back on some of your monument moments, you'll be able to remember God's faithfulness and power in your life, and that you'll see how your story can be an encouragement to the people around you, and that you'll be able to see how God is showing you how much he loves you, because your story is a part of his story. And stories are powerful. Your story is powerful. But we need to remember to tell these stories. Revelation 12 says that we will triumph over the evil one by two things. The first is the blood of the Lamb, which is the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, which is his story. And second, by the word of our testimony, our story. It's his story and our story. And God is calling us to participate in his story by telling our story. So let's be bold and tell the story. Let's talk about what God is up to in our lives and in the world around us. And as we do that, we'll solidify the truths that we have learned in our hearts, encourage the people around us, and see more deeply how we are connected to his story. Let's pray. Father God, it is profound to think of all the ways that you are weaving together all these different stories as a part of your great story. God, I do pray that as we look back on our lives and the stories that you are writing in our lives, God, I pray that that would be an encouragement to us to see your hand of faithfulness weaved all throughout it. God, I know that there are people here who aren't super excited about their story. But God, I pray that we would all see how you are the author of our stories. You have been from the beginning, and you are now and will be. And that you take those parts of our stories that we're not proud of or excited about, and you redeem those for your story and for the world's story. God, I pray that we would be encouraged to know that you walk with us, and that as we tell these stories, that we would be able to know you more deeply, that we would be able to encourage the people around us, and see and trust and know that you will continue to write the story from now for the rest of eternity. We pray this in your name. Amen.